The golden age of radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the Golden Age of Radio, an episode of Dr. Davy, the Happiest Man on Earth, and Connie Mack is the guest on the Bill Stern Show. We'll also hear an episode of Houseboat Hannah from 1939. Stay tuned for the Golden Age of Radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, Connie Mack is the guest on the Bill Stern Show from 1949, and we'll also hear an episode of Houseboat Hannah from 1939. Right now, here's Dr. Davy, the Happiest Man on Earth, as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Presenting Dr. Davy, the Happiest Man on Earth.
Ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. Ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. Ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. That's what gets results. Ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. Ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. Ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. That's what gets results.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Davy calling with a bag full of happiness and a prescription of good cheer for everyone. These days, we see a long face about every now and again, and we get the idea that all is not well with some of you. That's where the old doctor comes in and gives you a lift. A lift right out of the blues with a smile and a song is a mighty good slogan, and I'm here to prescribe both. So join with us for the next 15 minutes of laugh and sing. No matter if your voice is the kind that you should see and not hear, remember always, tain't what you do, it's the way that you do it.
You can try hard, don't mean a thing. Take it easy, breezy. Then the jive will swing. Oh, tain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. Tain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. Tain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. That's what gets results.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what gets results.
Oh, doctor.
Now, her nurse, you look just as beautiful as ever. Where do you get that beautiful complexion from?
Oh, any old chemist shop.
I get it. Your beauty isn't even skin deep.
Oh, doctor, you and I have been friends now for a long time, haven't we?
Well, yes, I suppose we have, but what of it?
Well, doctor, would you do me a big favor?
Well, if I can, nurse.
Doctor, would you make my wages a pound a week?
A pound a week? Listen, I give you 30 shillings now.
Well, I'd rather have a pound, if you don't mind.
You mean you want less money? Look, I don't get it, I'm afraid.
Well, I think it's a good idea. You see, when Friday comes round and you don't pay me, I lose less.
Nurse, why don't you get married and go in for a little connubial bliss?
Little what, doctor?
A little connubial bliss. Connubial bliss.
I'm afraid I don't know what you mean.
Well, connubial bliss, now let me see. What binds women together and makes them better than they are by nature?
Oh, corsets. Yeah.
Nurse, your comebacks are too straight-laced for me. Let's get to work on some of these patients. Is there anyone waiting?
Oh, yes, doctor. Al Thomas is out in the waiting room.
Ah, good. Send him in.
Why, hello, Doc. Hello, Doc. Gosh, I feel terrible. I feel that depressed. Do you know, doctor, I was so near death this afternoon, it just didn't matter.
Good heavens. What, did you faint?
No, I was sitting in the mourning coach at a funeral.
Whose funeral was this?
It was my poor brother Fred's wife, yeah.
Yes, it must be very hard to lose a wife.
Hard? It's almost impossible, Doc.
Why, tell me, Al, you're not married, are you?
No, I'm not married, but you can take it from me, Doc, this proposing's a dangerous business.
How's that, Al?
Well, you propose here and you propose there, and it's only a question of time before someone's going to take you up. To give you an idea, there was a girl I used to know called Beulah. Now, I went with her for, let's see, What did I go with her for?
Well, tell me, did you propose to her?
No, I didn't propose to her at first. It was more in the nature of a proposition.
Well, I'm sure she must have been a very nice girl.
Sure, Doc, she was nice. She came from a very aristocratic family, one of the earliest families, Doc.
Yeah, I get it. Her father was a milkman?
No, he was an astronomer.
An astronomer? Did he ever find anything on Venus?
Well, no, not from the photos I've seen of her.
Just as I thought.
Well, what do you think?
My good man, I've diagnosed your case. Sneeze again, will you? Mr. Thomas, do you know that you're suffering from alcoholatosis? That's what you've got.
Doctor.
Yeah, you got beer breath. And another thing, how did you get that scar under your eye?
Well, Doc, I got that from kissing a bride after a wedding ceremony.
Yes, well, isn't that the proper procedure? Always kiss the bride after the ceremony.
Yeah, but this was 2 years after the ceremony.
Well, here's a tonic for you. Take it away. It's yours if you like it.
Sing a song of sunbeams, let the notes fall where they may. Sing a song of sunbeams in a light, fantastic way. Show the blues you're busy, that you just can't be annoyed. And they'll up and go because they know they're null and void. People all are softies for a grin. You give out and they'll give in. People always love a jolly gent. They might even make you president. So sing a song of sunbeams, let the notes fall where they may. Sing a song of sunbeams in a light, fantastic way. Life is never perfect, but it isn't always wrong. So the only thing to do is sing a sunbeam song.
I gotta see him. I just gotta see him.
Oh, I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry indeed. You can't see Dr. Davy today. He's much too busy to see you. You'll just have to go and...
Listen, you can't keep me out of here. Nobody can keep me out of here. Doctor. Yeah. Oh, hello, Doctor. Yeah. I hope you don't mind my coming in like this, but...
Yeah. Well, look, if it isn't Lizzie Tisch. Look, what brings you here, Lizzie?
Doctor, you just don't know what's been going on in my family. What with Uncle and the people in the next flat and the termites in the pantry. But the things they said about my uncle, not the termites, I mean the people in the next flat, you just can't imagine.
Yeah. Now, wait a minute. Look, just one little thing at a time, Lizzie.
Well, you see, Doctor, my uncle really has very nice table manners. For instance, the other day, I took him over to the hotel for dinner, and he started eating using his fingers instead of a knife and fork.
Uh-huh.
Well, my aunt, she tried to stop him. She said it wasn't sanitary. But Uncle said if the food isn't clean enough to eat with your hands, it doesn't fit to eat at all.
Yes, he sounds like a very troublesome uncle to me.
Troublesome? Doctor, you just can't imagine. Well, do you know that Uncle was put in jail for stealing hams down in the country, and my aunt, she said she was pleased because she figured he couldn't disgrace her anymore.
Put in jail for stealing hams?
Uh-huh. But one day she went down to the judge and begged to have Uncle let out. The judge asked her why, seeing that Uncle would only disgrace her again, and she said, we're clear out of hams anyway. Well, and the people in the next flat...
All right. Now, just let it go at that.
Well, you should have heard the things they said.
No more.
Yes, Doctor.
Seems to me, Lizzie, you're heading for a terrible mental breakdown. Now, just let's get one of two things straight. When were you born, Lizzie?
Now, let me think. I'll have to look it up in my diary, Doctor.
Ah, but Lizzie, surely you can remember when you were born.
Oh, of course I can remember. Do you know, I can even remember the day I was born. And I'll never forget the surprised look on the doctor's face when I looked up and said, Doctor, what am I, a boy or a girl?
And what did the doctor say?
Well, he looks at me and he said, little baby, what else could you be?
You know, Lizzie, you remind me of that book, Gone with the Wind.
Oh, I get it. Because I'm subtle and interesting?
No, because you're so darn thick, that's right.
Well, isn't that funny? That's just what my boyfriend says. He's in the detective force, you know. Oh, gosh, he's clever, Doctor.
Just how clever, Lizzie?
Well, one dark night, a murder was committed, and in 1 hour, my sweetheart went out and got his man.
He got the murderer?
Oh, I know, he got the man that was killed.
Yeah, but... Nurse.
Yes, Doctor?
Nurse, I want you to make up a prescription immediately. The strongest pick-me-up you've got.
Is that for me, Doctor?
No, it's for me.
Oh, well. Try a little of this, Doctor. Daddy and mother used to kid grandma for living in a world of make-believe. They politely walk away at everything she used to say. Ah, but my eyes glistened every time I listened to her lovely tales of make-believe. There was one that she used to tell that I remember so well. Grandma said, as she tucked me into bed, there was once a princely fella met a lovely Cinderella long, long ago, long ago. And Grandma said, in a short time they were wed. In a world of joy and laughter, they lived happily ever after. Long, long ago, long ago. And Grandma said that someday this fairy tale would come true. Oh, she must have known that someday I'd meet you. For here we are, and it's just as Grandma said. You're a 20th century fella, I'm a modern Cinderella. So what to do but to wed, just as Grandma said.
Yes, that's better. You know, nurse, that's much better. If Lizzie Tish had stayed in here another minute, I'd have gone crazy. And I ask you, what would it be like if I went crazy?
Oh, much the same as usual, I suppose.
Yeah, like another crack like that and you're fired.
Oh, that wouldn't worry me. I'd get a job in the circus, like my cousin. And it wouldn't matter how often I was fired.
Yeah, what sort of a job is your cousin, Gordon?
He's the human bullet.
What a brain, what a... I've got a good mind to call up the insane asylum and a stretcher.
Oh, why? Don't you think it'll fit you?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, listen, how old were you on your last birthday?
Oh, I don't know. Well, I haven't had my last birthday yet.
Yes, it can go on for hours. I can't stand it.
Ah, now, Doctor, you just sit down over there and rest your tired brain.
But I don't want to rest.
Well, then maybe you ought to have a transfusion.
Now, look, what are you talking about?
Well, there's nothing like a transfusion, Doctor. Didn't I tell you about Auntie Nellie? She's an old maid, you know.
Well, what did she do?
Well, she gave a sick man a pint of her blood for a transfusion.
That was very, very generous of her. And did the patient recover?
No, he froze to death.
Yeah.
Oh, Doctor, Doctor, pardon me interrupting.
Oh, hello. So it's you again, eh? Well, now, what do you want?
Well, you know how it is. Do unto others what you would undo if they would do ask or die.
Yes, that's it. Lizzie, now stop for a little while and tell me, what is on your mind?
Oh, Doctor, I've got the most wonderful tip on the fifth race this afternoon.
A tip on the fifth race? Uh-huh. Well, now, let's hear it, Lizzie. Is it hot?
It's a cinch. The jockey has halitosis and the horse wins trying to get away.
Oh. All right. Nurse, we'll take the rest of the patients now. Send them all in, will you? Step this way, everybody. Okay, walk up, ladies and gentlemen. Every week at this time, I call my outpatients into my consulting room and make them a gift of a free prescription. The best tonic there is. Sing it with all you've got. Remember, tain't what you do, it's the way that you do it.
Tain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. Tain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. Tain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. That's what gets results. Tain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. Tain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. Tain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. That's what gets results. You can try hard, don't mean a thing. Take it easy, breezy. Then that jive will swing. Oh, it ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. Ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. Ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. That's what gets results.
Dr. Davy will be in attendance at this station at his usual visiting hours next week. If you've got any favorite prescription, be it ancient or modern, so long as it's tuneful, the doctor will be only too happy to make it up for you. Just send a note to Dr. Davy at his consulting room, care of this station.
Thank you. You make me feel so young. You make me feel so spring has sprung. And every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual. The moment that you speak, I wanna go play hide and seek. I wanna go and bounce the moon just like a toy balloon. You and I are just like a couple of tots running across a meadow, picking up lots of forget-me-nots. You make me feel so young. You make me feel there are songs to be sung, bells to be rung, and a wonderful fling to be flung. And even when I'm old and gray, I'm gonna feel the way I do today, 'cause you make me feel so young. You make me feel so young. You make me feel so spring has sprung. And every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual. The moment that you speak, I wanna go and play hide and seek. I wanna go and bounce the moon just like a toy balloon. You and I are just like a couple of tots running across a meadow, picking up lots of forget-me-nots. You make me feel so young. You make me feel there are songs to be sung, bells to be rung, wonderful fling to be flung. And even when I'm old and gray, I'm gonna feel the way I do today, 'cause you make me feel so young. You make me feel so young. You make me feel so young. Ooh, you make me feel so young.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bill Stern with the Colgate Sports Newsreel.
Bill Stern, the Colgate Shaker Man, is on the air. Bill Stern, the Colgate Shaker Man, with stories rare. Take his advice and you'll look keen. You'll get a shave that's smooth and clean. You'll be a Colgate Shave Cream fan.
The 503rd edition of the Colgate Shave Cream Sports Newsreel, featuring America's most famous collector of yarns and stories, some legends, some hearsay, but also interesting. We'd like to pass them along to you. And to do this, here's radio's number one sports reporter, Bill Stern, who has just been chosen as the sports announcer Father of the Year by the National Father's Day Committee. Bill Stern. Thank you and good evening. Our guest tonight is the grand old man of baseball, Connie Mack. But before you meet Connie Mack speaking in person, here is Real One. Say, fellas, does shaving leave your face with a razor hangover? You know that drawn, scraped, tender feeling? Well, listen. What you want is to take the punishment out of shaving is Colgate Brushless Shaving Cream. Colgate Brushless truly smooths and sweetens the shave, makes it really comfortable. Prove it for yourself on this great proposition. There's $1 cash says Colgate Brushless wins you in a flash. Yes, it will, and here's why.
Because it's light and fine textured, Colgate Brushless completely surrounds, softens, and supports each bristle better than greasy, heavy creams. No matting down, no clogging. Your razor doesn't skid or skip when you use Colgate Brushless, but cuts through clean and smooth.
Just try Colgate Brushless. See and feel the difference that the light, fine texture makes. Why, the toughest whiskers sweep off at the very touch of a razor, close and smooth. And there's no aftershave rawness or tenderness. Your face feels comfortable and refreshed. Get a large or giant-sized tube or jar of Colgate Brushless Shaving Cream tomorrow. Use it a week. If that doesn't convince you that Colgate Brushless is the ideal shave, then just send the carton top back to me, Bill Stern, Cara Colgate, Jersey City, Zone 2, New Jersey, and you'll get $1 back quickly. You can't lose on this proposition. There's $1 cash says Colgate Brushless wins you in a flash. Reel 2, Portrait of a Baby. Many years ago, a baby was born. A baby that was destined to make history. For one of the first things that this baby ever remembered was a shot that was heard around the world. For when this baby was only 3 years old, President Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. That was the first thing that this baby remembers hearing about. This baby named Cornelius McGillicuddy. Cornelius McGillicuddy, who's since gone on to become famous the world over as Connie Mack. Ladies and gentlemen, the Connie Mack Story. Connie Mack is a national institution now. Today, at 86 years of age, he manages the Philadelphia Athletics. He's the oldest manager in Big League Baseball. He's the most famous figure in baseball. But Connie Mack has not always been famous in baseball. For long ago, he had no idea of becoming a professional ball player. That is, he had no idea of ever becoming a professional ball player until one day in the little town of East Brookfield, Massachusetts, where he was born, he overheard a friend named Marty Hogan say,
"Hey, I've been offered a job in Big League Baseball."
Connie Mack decided that if his friend Marty Hogan could play professional baseball, so could he. Little did Connie Mack think that Marty Hogan, the man that he'd patterned his life after, would one day wind up in a barrage of pistol shots. For this same Marty Hogan shot his wife and his children, and then he killed himself. The only baseball player at Marty Hogan's funeral was Connie Mack. That was only the first tragic event that was destined to happen to Connie Mack in baseball. Years later, Connie Mack hired another ball player, a man named Sam Crane, the same Sam Crane, whose life also hit the newspaper headlines behind another barrage of pistol shots. Sam Crane killed his sweetheart and another man, for which Sam Crane was sent to jail for life. Yes, Sam Crane went to jail for life, but he was finally pardoned through the efforts of Connie Mack. Nor were these the only times that tragedy was to strike Connie Mack's life. For in the year of 1887, his great idol was a Philadelphia baseball player named Ed Delahanty, the same Ed Delahanty whose body was later to be found floating face down in the Niagara River. Nor could Connie Mack ever forget another ball player, a player destined to be the most famous evangelist of all time. His name was Billy Sunday. But perhaps the day that Connie Mack will remember the longest was one day shortly before the end of the 1929 baseball season. That day, he called his aging pitcher, Howard Emke, into his office, and Connie Mack said,
"Howard?"
"Yes, sir."
"I'm afraid your pitching days are over. I've got to let you go."
"All right, Mr. Mack, but I think I got one good game left in my arm."
"Okay, Howard. I believe you. I'll start you in the opening game of the World Series."
Start Howard Emke in the World Series? Connie Mack must be nuts. Why, Howard Emke was all through. He was finished. He was washed up. People couldn't believe it. Even his teammates on the Athletics were stunned. However, Connie Mack did start Howard Emke. Whereupon, this man that they'd said was all washed up, finished, old Howard Emke went on to pitch one of the greatest World Series games of all time. Yeah, that was probably Connie Mack's proudest day. But the day he was the most ashamed of came in that same World Series, when 3 days later, just before the start of another game, he heard... yeah, boos. That Philadelphia crowd was booing as it had never booed before. While Connie Mack listened to those boos, his face grew crimson. However, the crowd was not booing Connie Mack, but they were booing the President of the United States, Mr. Herbert Hoover. But despite moments like that, Connie Mack's become a legend as he's traveled down through the years. Connie Mack, the most famous baseball manager of all time, loved and respected. He has walked down life's path with his head held high. Until today, at the age of 86, Connie Mack has been given every award that a man can win. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt said of him,
"You have been a great inspiration to baseball and to the youth of the nation.
And here, here, ladies and gentlemen, speaking in person, is the most famous sports figure of our time, Mr. Connie Mack.
Good evening, Bill. I appreciate the nice things you said about me and all the nice things that have been written about me, particularly the splendid story in the current issue of Look magazine. But, Bill, tonight I'd like to tell you a baseball story that you might not have heard. This is the story of a kid who wanted to be a baseball player, but his eyesight was poor. And so, because of his poor eyesight, believe it or not, they wouldn't let him play. But they did let him umpire. However, that boy still wanted to pitch in the big leagues. And this year, he finally got his chance. For this man did pitch the first ball when my Philadelphia Athletics played the Washington Senators in the opening game of this season. For you see, the man I have been talking about is the President of the United States, Harry S. Truman. But Bill, maybe it's because Philadelphia is my home that I think that one of the strangest stories I've ever heard is the story of a former Philadelphia man by the name of John Andre.
Connie Mack, it is one of the strangest stories ever told, because it happened so many years ago, we can't check all the facts. However, the story goes that John Andre was a British spy in Philadelphia, a spy who was hanged by the United States government. And yet the amazing part of this story is the fact that this man who was hanged by our government as a spy is the same man who introduced into our country the melody for our national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner. Portrait of a British spy who was hanged in America, and yet who introduced into America our national anthem. Reel 3, Arthur Gary.
Man, the shaving cream has to be mighty good to make such a proposition as this. There's $1 cash, says Colgate Brushless, wins you in a flash. Try it and see for yourself. You'll discover this.
Because it's light and fine textured, Colgate Brushless completely surrounds, softens, and supports each bristle better than greasy, heavy creams. There is no matting down. There is no clogging. Your razor doesn't skid or skip when you use Colgate Brushless, but cuts through clean and smooth.
Yes, that light, fine textured Colgate Brushless really fixes tough whiskers, makes shaving wonderfully fast, slick, and easy, and leaves your face feeling delightfully relaxed and comfortable.
Tomorrow, buy a large or giant-sized tube or jar of Colgate Brushless Shaving Cream. Use it a week. If you're not convinced then that it makes shaving just right for you, Colgate will send you $1. Just mail the carton top back to me, Bill Stern, care of Colgate, Jersey City, Zone 2, New Jersey. How about it? There's $1 cash as Colgate Brushless wins you in a flash. Reel 4, Profile of an amazing girl, a girl named Elizabeth Blackwell. Elizabeth Blackwell was born in England in the year of 1821. When she was 11 years old, she came to America. Elizabeth was an unusual girl right from the beginning. Instead of wanting to cook and to sew as other young girls of her time did, Elizabeth Blackwell liked sports. She wanted to be outdoors, racing or swimming with the boys. And she beat the boys at sports. In fact, she was so good that when she grew older, she decided to compete against men in other fields. For as she said,
"If I can compete against men in sports, I can compete against men in business, too."
But when Elizabeth Blackwell did try to enter a man's profession, everybody was against her, for she tried to enter a profession in which no woman had ever been before. Yeah, Elizabeth Blackwell tried to do what no woman had ever done before. She tried to compete in a man's profession, and she might have failed. That is, she might have failed if it hadn't been for a man who finally encouraged her. Yeah, a man encouraged Elizabeth Blackwell. Encouraged her, and so she succeeded. For with this man's help, Elizabeth Blackwell became the first woman doctor in the United States. However strange as it seems, the man who encouraged her to become the first woman doctor in the United States, that man later became the President of the United States, for his name was James K. Polk. This is not the end of this incredible story of America's first woman doctor. For although Elizabeth Blackwell did become America's first woman doctor with the help of a president of the United States, she found that people were still against woman doctors. That is, they were still against woman doctors until one day when a worried mother rushed in to see Elizabeth Blackwell and said,
"Please, Miss Blackwell, will you look at my son? I've tried all over town to find another doctor, but I can't find one. Will you help me? Please look at my boy. He's so sick.
Elizabeth Blackwell did save that little boy's life, and because she did, that became the turning point of her career. She had proved that a woman doctor could be a good doctor. Her practice grew, and prejudice against women doctors was ended. But that's still not the end of this amazing story, for the strangest part of this story is that the baby boy, that baby whose life Elizabeth saved, that boy grew up to become a champion rifle shot. He was such a great rifle shot that he was made the president of the American Trap Shooters Association. But the sportsman is not remembered today as a champion rifleman. No, but he is remembered as the president of the American Trap Shooting Association. And he's better remembered as the man who composed America's greatest marches, John Philip Sousa.
The flag of the free, may it wave as a standard forever.
Yeah, that's the story of John Philip Sousa, who was president of the American Trap Shooting Association, and yet who might not have lived except for the first woman doctor in America, Elizabeth Blackwell, who saved John Philip Sousa's life. John Philip Sousa, who years later was destined to write America's most famous marching song, the never-to-be-forgotten Stars and Stripes Forever.
That by their right and by their might, it waves forever. That by their right and by their might, it waves forever.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is the 3-0 mark for tonight. Next Friday night, we'll be back same time, same stations, when our guest will be the famous orchestra leader, Mr. Guy Lombardo. See you then. Until then, I'll be seeing you on the screen in the news of the day, newsreels at your favorite Lowe's or Associated Theaters. Now, till next Friday night at this very same time, this is Bill Stern wishing you all a good night.
Bill Stern, the Cougar Shaper Man, is on his way. Bill Stern, the Cougar Shaper Man, had lots to say. He told you to tell sports heroes the inside dope he really knows. So listen in next Friday night. C-O-L-G-A-T-E.
Portions of the Bill Stern Show were transcribed and came to you tonight from New York.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
You're listening to the Golden Age of Radio and the Bill Stern Show from June 17th, 1949. Frank Sinatra sang You Make Me Feel So Young from 1956 and Dr. Davy, the Happiest Man on Earth. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s. When the Golden Age of Radio continues, I'm Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. From 1939, here's an episode of Houseboat Hannah, as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Ready again for another episode of Houseboat Hannah, brought to you each weekday, Monday through Friday, by Procter & Gamble, makers of Lava Soap. You know, lately I've been emphasizing how wonderful lava soap is for your hands when you use it for scouring and polishing. And because it is so good for your hands, I don't want you to get the idea it falls short as a scouring product. After all, no matter how grand the household cleanser is for your hands, its first job is to clean safely, quickly, and thoroughly. And take the word of critical housewives, that's exactly what lava soap does. Yes, lava cleans safely because its wrist suds contain no harsh grit. Lava cleans quickly because its energetic, fast-acting suds just wash away the dirt and grime. Lava Cream thoroughly because its suds are brimming with a special imported cleansing ingredient that does its work with amazing efficiency. As a result, Lava makes it easy to keep your kitchen sink, bathroom, basin, and tub, or whatever else you clean, bright and sparkling. Indeed, if I could take you on a tour of inspection through the houses where Lava is being used for showering and polishing, you'd see for yourself what a remarkable cleanser this special soap is. And of course, you don't want to forget the really wonderful part about scouring with Lava soap. That is, while you work, Lava is also busy being good to your hands. That special cleansing ingredient I told you about gets into the tiny ridges of your skin, safely removes the ugly housework stains that collect there, and leaves your hands shades whiter. And Lava's other special substance, like that used in costly hand lotions, helps keep your hands soft and smooth. So Lava soap is really a double-purpose special soap. Grand for the things you clean and wonderful for your hands. And yet, for all these benefits, you pay but a few pennies. Yes, that's all Lava costs. So get several cakes today at your grocery, drug, or department store. Try it for yourself. Keep a cake always handy at the kitchen sink. It's wonderful to clean up and to wash up. Be sure to get Lava soap today. And now for Houseboat Hannah. Last evening, Dan and Hannah learned that Judge Eugene Mack was running for re-election. Now, Mack is a member of Boss Huey's political party. And last fall, serving party end, he had illegally revoked several of the fishermen's licenses. Hannah had seen to it that these licenses were reinstated. Ever since, the shanty fishers have hated Judge Mack, and he knows how bad his chances are for re-election. Yesterday, he went to see Boss Huey about the swiftly growing opposition, an opposition fostered by Hannah and Tony Pasquale. Huey calmed the man, said not to worry, but with a little pressure judiciously applied, he would be able to change Hannah's mind. Well, as we go on board the houseboat Hannah this early afternoon, we find Hannah and Ellen alone in the kitchen, finishing the lunch dishes. And we hear...
Oh, Dan, I guess that's the last pan. There aren't any more on the stove, are there?
Nope, that was the last.
Well, I'll go ahead and start the thing.
Now, why don't you let me do it, Ellen?
Save your hands. This won't hurt them. Anyway, I don't guess it makes much difference how my hands look.
Save it. It seemed mighty important to you a week ago.
That was last week.
And don't it matter anymore?
Nope. My manicure's all gone. Anyway, who cares whether my hands look nice or not?
Clem does.
Oh, Clem. He wouldn't notice no matter what I did to them.
Now, don't you be too sure of that. Clem notices more than you give him credit for.
Anything else that needs to get washed before we start ironing?
No, I guess not.
Well, then I'll dump out this water and we'll get started.
I'd better put up the ironing board.
Hannah.
Yes, darling?
What would you think if someone gave you sort of a rush to begin with?
A man, I mean, and then you didn't hear from him again.
Why, I'm not sure, Ellen. It might mean any one of a lot of things.
But it'd most likely mean he'd lost interest, wouldn't it?
Well, it might, and it might not. Depends on how long I hadn't seen him.
I suppose he was busy.
I don't think it's that.
Oh, he might be out of town, like Mrs. Stanton Gray. Or lots of times we don't see her for weeks on end, but that don't mean we ain't the same good friends.
But that's different.
Is it? Well, maybe it is. Oh, Ellen, did you remember to bring in that extra dress of roses that I washed out this morning?
Oh, good night. I forgot. I'll go right out and get it, Hannah.
If you don't mind, Ellen, I wouldn't want it to fade.
I'll be right back.
All right, Ellen. I'll get started here.
Yes, Ruth?
Ooh.
What are you jumping for? Just because I put my hands over your eyes? Bet you don't know who it is.
I'll bet I do. Al Groton.
Oh, caught in the act. I can't fool you even for a minute, can I, Ellen?
I hope not. Hey, what do you mean coming up behind me and scaring me that way?
Nah, you weren't really scared. A big girl like you?
Well, I was certainly startled.
I hoped you'd think it was someone else. Clem, maybe.
Clem doesn't play tricks like that.
No, I'll bet he doesn't. And what are you up to this afternoon, my pretty maid?
I'm just getting Rosie's dress off the line, as you can see. Then I'm going in to help Hannah with the ironing.
Oh, what a life. Just one round of mad pleasures.
Did you come down here to make fun of me?
Oh, now, Ellen, you know better than that. I wasn't making fun. You know why I came down here.
Do I?
Because I couldn't stay away.
I thought you were managing it pretty well.
Oh, now I understand. You're angry because I stayed away so long.
If you'll excuse me, Hannah's waiting.
Oh, Ellen, please don't treat me this way. Really, I've got a grand excuse.
I'll just bet you have.
Ellen, you're cold and heartless. Don't you even want to hear my excuse?
No, I don't.
You'll be sorry.
Well, oh, I suppose I might as well listen to what you have to say. But I don't promise to believe you.
All I ask is a chance.
Go ahead, then.
Please don't put that grim look on your face before you've even heard me. I've been working.
Oh.
You mean to say you don't believe me?
Certainly not.
Well, I can't say I blame you, but it's true. The old man came down on me like a load of bricks, so I'm a changed person. You know, even we black sheep have to work once in a while.
Is that what you are? A black sheep?
Haven't you heard? But I'm willing to be redeemed. That is, by the right redeemer.
Oh, Al, you're impossible.
Ah, that sounds better. She smiles. My lady smiles. All is forgiven.
Well, don't be too sure.
But you will give me a chance to redeem myself, won't you?
How?
Go out with me Friday?
I don't believe I should.
Oh, please, you must. Come on, say you will.
You're very persuasive.
So you will? Oh, my Ellen, I breathe. The sun shines again. I'm a new man.
You're a very ridiculous one.
Well, say what you like. Nothing matters now. I've got a date with a dream. Now, don't forget. I'll be around Friday.
Well, you aren't going already.
Yeah, I must. I've got things and stuff to do. Remember, I'm reforming.
Oh.
Give my best to Hannah. I mean Mrs. O'Leary. Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye, Al.
Ellen, is someone... Oh, that's funny. I could have sworn I heard a man talking. Did he leave?
Yes. But he'll be back, Hannah. He'll be back.
Oh.
Oh, here's Rosie's dress.
And now let's leave the houseboat Hannah and, crossing the city, enter Sid Becker's, a bookie joint where Seamus works. Right now, Seamus comes out of Sid Becker's private office, walks up to Andy Cooper, who says...
You got it, huh?
Yeah. You ought to have seen Sid's face when I asked him for an advance and pay. He wanted to know if I'd been betting on the races.
Gosh, what do you think he'd say if he really knew why I needed the money?
You think of the nicest things. Well, I guess we can be thankful we're able to pay off Mrs. Dunlap. Anyway...
If Espinosa hadn't come in, everything would have been dandy.
Here. Well, fork over $10.
Yeah. Here you are.
10 from you and 10 from me. That's 20 for Joe Mose. I'll see he gets it tonight.
I wonder what I'm going to say to Mom when I show up with only $5.
You should have a worry. All you have to worry about is explanations, but I've got to pay board.
Yeah, it's tough all the way around.
Tough's no word for it. Holy moco. When I think how long it's going to take us to pay Mosey his 180 smackers back, I get sick.
At 20 a week, that's 9 weeks.
Joe's nice and don't hold us up for interest.
Oh, he wouldn't do that.
Why, do you think he's above picking up a little spare cash?
But he was so nice.
Yeah, everybody's nice. Well, they get you in the lot, and they give you the pressure for all they're worth. Just hope Joe won't be too tough.
I wish I'd never got into this mess.
And you and me both. Uh-oh, friend of yours just came in.
Who? Oh, Boss Huey.
Yeah, your bosom pal.
Well, go on over to him.
He's waiting for you.
Okay. See you later.
Bye.
How do you do, Mr. Huey?
Fine, Seamus. Fine. And how are things going with you?
Okay, I guess.
Still like it down here at Mr. Becker's?
Oh, sure.
Your mother hasn't found out Sid's a bookie?
No, sir. She thinks he's a broker, like he told her.
Well, there are some things women just don't understand, Seamus.
I suppose.
Oh, by the way, have you noticed the electric street lamps down in the row?
Oh, yes, sir. Everybody's talking about them. We shanty fishers think you're mighty swell, Mr. Ewing.
Oh, it wasn't anything. Just a favor for my friends. I'm always glad to do a favor for a friend. I guess you know that, don't you, Seamus?
Yes, sir.
Well, now, don't feel badly about it. It's all over and done with. Oh, I shouldn't have mentioned it.
I guess if it wasn't for you, I'd be in jail, Mr. Ewing.
I said, now, let's forget about it. I was glad to be able to help you. It made you my friend. And these days, a man needs all the friends he can get.
I guess he does.
Now, you take your mother. She's a great one for friends.
Oh, Mom's got plenty, all right.
Yes, and hers are the kind that count, too. They're the kind who'd be glad to render a favor if it's asked.
Yeah, I guess they would.
Now, I have a friend who's running for... Oh, Seamus, do you know how your mother stands on the election?
What election?
The one that's coming up in Shantyfish Row.
Oh, well, to tell you the truth, Mr. Huey, I don't pay much attention to talk about elections.
I see.
But if there's anything I could find out for you...
No, I don't guess there is. You see, Seamus, a good friend of mine, Judge Eugene Max, running in that election, and I'd like to see your mother speak a word in his favor.
Well, I'll be glad to tell Mom.
No, I guess I'd better go down to Shantyfish Row and speak to her about that myself. I expected to in the first place. Although, if you could do anything toward lining your mother up behind Jean Mack, I'd appreciate it, Seamus. I'd appreciate it a lot.
When Huey makes a request in that tone, it's virtually a command. He's up to something, but what? Well, we'll have to wait until Huey visits Hannah personally and learn. Meanwhile, Ellen's spirits have risen perceptibly because of Al Groton's visit and the date for next Friday night. And while Hannah shows interest, deep down she's more than bothered, for Seamus has made no further move to explain the strange incidents of last week. Now, if the idea of using a special soap for scouring and polishing is new to you, you'll want to know how lava goes to work. So just listen, because it's the simplest thing there is. You just rub up lava's rich, fast-acting suds on a damp cloth. Then go over the surfaces to be cleaned. Watch the dirt and grime disappear just like magic. Notice that lava suds contain no harsh grit, an old harsh grit left behind to scratch surfaces or make extra cleanup work necessary. Just a quick rinse and the job is done. Your kitchen sink or whatever you happen to be cleaning sparkles with gleaming brightness. And while you work, lava helps improve the appearance of your hands. Makes them shades whiter and helps keep them soft and smooth, too. So, for the sake of your hands, as well as the things you clean, switch to lava today. Get several cakes from your dealer. Be sure to ask for lava soap, L-A-V-A. Be sure to be back tomorrow when we bring you another episode in the life of Houseboat Hannah. With so much depending on how the Shantyfish Row vote goes, you don't want to miss a day's episode of this exciting story. Until Thursday, then, the makers of Lava Soap bid you a friendly goodbye.
Beginning today and continuing all week, there are many new programs returning to the NBC schedule. And you'll find a couple of your old favorites in new time periods as well. Today, Theater Guild on the Air returns for the fall season on NBC with a special dramatization of The Wisteria Trees, co-starring Helen Hayes and Joseph Cotton. Later, Dragnet, the authentic stories of your police force in action, begins a new series of Sunday evening broadcasts. On Tuesday, NBC's own Red Skelton returns to the fold to bring you 30 minutes of his hilarious antics. And the same day, Tuesday, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis also begin a new series on the NBC radio network. Thursday evening, you'll find Truth or Consequences on a new day at a new time, too. So better check your local newspaper for the correct time of all these wonderful programs on this NBC station. Remember, today, hear both Theater Guild on the Air, co-starring Helen Hayes and Joseph Cotton, and Dragnet, for action-packed listening on NBC. Thank you.
the cotton is high. Oh, your dad is rich and your ma is good looking. So hush, little baby, don't you cry. One of these mornings you're going to rise up singing, then you'll spread your wings and you'll take the sky. But till that morning, there's nothing can harm you.
Golden Age of Radio on WMKY. Billie Holiday sang Summertime from 1936. We also heard an episode of Houseboat Hannah, first broadcast on radio on June 19, 1939. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows. On the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at this same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.